the Drown Rat Studios. You're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast, coming to you from everywhere and nowhere. Tipping the scales of justice with untold stories of American families. And now, Justice Speaks Up.
Justice Speaks Up is not a standard format podcast. You are listening to unscripted phone interviews for the purpose of documenting an ongoing open source human rights investigation into federally funded child abduction via collaboration between the U.S. Family Court and Child Protective Services. This often includes constructive parent and child estrangement on behalf of these agencies. This project is tracking the untold stories of U.S. families and conducting statistical research on behalf of this civil society in order to create solutions to a very important branch of the U.S. justice system that is statistically failing families and children. It's violating due process, violating constitutional violations, domestic terrorism, unlawful intimidation and surveillance of U.S. citizens. It's also conducting violations of the Violence Against Women Act by refusing to acknowledge the crimes committed against them in family court and in CPS custody cases. They're falsifying information in a federal, not all the time, but sometimes it's rare when it happens, but they're falsifying information in federal individual education programs for special needs children, forcibly medicating minors. Lying and falsification of evidence is often at play. They're often violating American Disabilities Act, human rights violations, and due to these failures, they are contributing to U.S. poverty levels, homelessness, mental health dilemmas, addiction, and all of these are a detriment to the entrepreneur and small business community by crushing many of these parents who own and many now are not operating startups. If you know any families that have been that may meet the criteria for this study, please have them email their participation request via the contact form on our website at justicespeaksup.us. Justice Speaks Up is also seeking to interview candidates who are running for government office, and we would love to discuss any areas in regards to their platform for reforming these entities and advocating for children and their families. In turn, we are also seeking anyone currently in these political seats to reach out to Justice Speaks Up via the same contact form to offer your input into this research study and to lend insight into for your constituents so that they can get answers. They've been left in the dark for many decades seeking answers to the areas that we are researching. Justice Speaks Up is conducting this research as a means to create a peaceful, long-lasting solution between U.S. families and these entities because we identify this as a U.S. crisis. I am requesting that listeners use their best judgment and not allow children under 18 to be present when you listen to these interviews.
Hi, I'm Archer Sierra, and you're listening to the Justice Speaks Up podcast. Today, we're lucky to be on the phone with Rachel Benesch out of Blue Earth County, Minnesota. Hi, Rachel. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So we always like to start with how your family became involved with the family court and or CPS. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your story?
First started last year of the first week of May. Me and my older son at that time was 16, was abused by my younger son's father.
That
time I was also spring cleaning. And, you know, four kids in the house is quite difficult to do some spring cleaning with. So I had many piles of clothes to put away, blankets and all. And at that minute, I had one of my son's social worker come in the house to check on my older son, which has renal kidney failure, which I'm dealing with kidney failure with him right now. She came in, and everything seemed to be fine. And then 10 minutes later, I had CPS and a police officer at the door, and at that moment, I was unaware of who they actually were and what my rights were. I did not know that I could actually tell them to go away, but they came in and they took my older son and forced me to calm him down, which I could hardly calm myself down, and they took two of my kids straight out of school. So I could not even say goodbye to them. In fact, I didn't even see them for a good week. And then I got them back about 2 weeks later because I had proved to them that they were illegally came in and took my kids. So I got them back, and my ex was pretty argumentative about it and demanded to see his son and take his son, and he was into drugs, and I felt the need to protect my child to where I did not want him to go. So he didn't go, but then he also told my mom he was going to take it to state, and I got my kids taken away again over an argument on a laptop. It was a school laptop, and my younger son, who is 8 years old, is autistic and ADHD, which is quite difficult. And my older son was looking for his laptop after a shower, and he asked me if I took it away because I did say I was going to take it away because his room wasn't clean. And I had said no, but let's go look for it. It would be with my younger son, because my younger son, you know, with autism, loves technology. And it was there with him, and I taught my son how to talk to his brother. You don't raise your voice. You keep a good toned voice and say, you know, hey, maybe if he gives you the laptop, maybe he can watch Minecraft on it or something. And that's what he said, and there was no arguing after that. They started laughing and joking around and everything, and I went about my business, and the next day a school teacher called and said that, unfortunately, my younger son had said something like that my older son said, if you give me the laptop, you can watch your show if you do a sexual act, which I won't name a sexual act. But, the next day, me and my son and my older daughter, who is now 21, we were down at the police station, and we were in the room with a video or a tape recorder recording, and they didn't get nothing because there was nothing to hide. It was just two boys arguing over a laptop, and I consistently told them that it was an argument over a laptop, you know, and they said, well, how does one 8-year-old get sexual content? And I was like, well, if you actually go to my ex, and if you actually look around, you'll understand. And my older son had stated that my younger son and his dad was watching pornographic Mario on YouTube. And I guess that's how my younger son got it, but they refused to go to the source. They're looking at me on that, but they wanted to prosecute my now 17-year-old son, and they are now not going to take it to court. He has not been prosecuted, but now the county is saying that they've prosecuted, and they have said that in the county's eyes, he's guilty, but in the court's eyes, he's innocent, and that's one thing I'm not understanding. I grew up around lawyers, and that's not true.
Now repeat what they said. Repeat that answer you got.
Repeat it?
Yeah, what was the answer you got? Because even I have to hear that a second time.
Okay, the answer that I got from the county is that my son was, which I will not name names, but my son was proven guilty in the eyes of CPS, but he was proven innocent in the court of law. They did not take it to court, and I keep telling them that you can't do nothing to my son because he was never proven guilty.
Wait a minute. This really goes with what we were saying with these other cases is
why is CPS more important than the ruling of a court? That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it doesn't. It's, to me, I guess my mother was a secretary for the county attorney for probably like 30 years. And she's worked with cases of child abuse because there was a child abuse advocate and lawyer in that office. And, you know, I've even spoke to him. He works for the Jacob Wetterling Foundation. And I've spoke to him, and he has hardly any understanding what they're doing either. That he doesn't seem like it's fair either.
No.
So it's trying to prove them of their guiltiness is what I've been trying to do.
Now, when the office attorney doesn't even understand what's going down in the court, that says something, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does. And, I mean, I don't have family around. And, I mean, my mom got really sick. She was in assisted living, and she got really sick because of what CPS is doing to her grandchildren. And she ended up really sick and now lives in a nursing home because she just lost it.
The stress?
Yep. And now with my stress, I have a hereditary condition where I was born with no male hormone, and I take pills for it, and stress can make me have my attacks. And I've been having more and more since the kids were gone, and I've maxed out on the pills that I can only take per day. And I guess now, because of the pills, I have tumors in my liver.
Whoa. So
I'm dealing with my tumors in the liver, and I'm dealing with my son's kidney illness, which has been going, his labs have been up and down, but, you know, handling two kids out of the house and two kids in the house, because they didn't want to take Andre. They took the other two instead. They didn't take my older son because of his health concerns.
Now, just to verify, because we went through it in the beginning pretty quick, you have a total of four children, correct?
I have a total of four children. I have two girls, two boys, and they didn't take my oldest because she's old. She's an adult now.
Okay, when...
eight-year-old and 13-year-old.
Okay, so they took the 8 and the 13-year-old.
Yep.
And the 17-year-old, they found guilty in the eyes of CPS, but innocent in the court of law. And your eldest daughter is 21, right?
Yep, she just turned 21 last week.
Okay, so, and the 8-year-old boy is autistic with ADHD. And does your...
My youngest is autistic and ADHD. He's 8. And, yeah. And my oldest at 17, he's got renal kidney failure, ADHD, OCD, ODD.
That was a lot. ADHD, OCD, and what?
ODD and OCD.
ODD is, what is that?
Oppositional Defiant Disorder.
Oh, wait a minute. So they didn't take that into account when they decided to haul him into court?
Nope.
Okay, so for everybody listening that doesn't understand that, I know what that is. Would you explain just briefly in 2-3 sentences what that is?
ODD is Oppositional Defiant Disorder. It's almost like ADHD, but it's a more severe extent of anger issues. Easily touched, easily annoyed by things.
Doesn't like to follow rules.
Oh, no.
Okay, and what about your 13-year-old? Does she have anything going on?
My oldest daughter, no. She's got a really good head on her shoulders. She's still living in the house, which CPS is telling me that she needs to move out, that I need to kick her out.
Why?
Not give her notice, but kick her out.
Why?
Because she's old enough. She's 21 now. She has to move.
You know what? They don't get to make that choice. They don't get to make that choice. That's not their business.
It's from what I was told, which I was very smart to, and I try to get all mothers, fathers, grandparents, whoever's fighting for their children. I never, ever knew CPS was like this until I got into the system, and most people don't. That's why the word needs to get out. But record every single conversation that you have with CPS, please, don't matter what. Put it on your phone. Do not tell them you're recording. Just put it on your phone. I recorded a conversation, and I recorded so much that I can get CPS in trouble this next court date if I can have it to be put in the court system. If I can prove it, if I can say, you know, hey, I got some information, you know, I need you to look at. If they won't accept it, then I'm lost out of that. But my 13-year-old daughter is with a person who was the camp counselor for summer vacation, camp Bible school type thing. And she took in my daughter because she was really nice, but she really kind of did a turn and started backstabbing me. She has 5 boys of her own. She has tried to have a girl, and she was unsuccessful. And now she has my daughter, and she's been trying her hardest to get me into so much trouble. And I guess if my daughter was not with her, I'd have her by now.
Wow. So, and the 8 and 13-year-old are the ones that are in CPS custody and foster care?
Yep. My 8-year-old lives in a group home that he was there for 1 month before, like, over a year ago, because I had some issues with him, and handling 4 kids, it was really getting kind of tough. I needed a break, and, you know, he was in the home there for a month, and it takes a strong mother to say you need a break. So I did do it, and I was not happy with the place at all, and I already told them I wasn't, because Chase, my son, would call me, and I didn't know he knew my number. He'd steal the phone, and here he is talking to me for like half hour, 45 minutes, and I'm like, okay, where's the staff? Because it's a group home for disabled children. And the staff was not even watching him. And now this time, he was there at the home for about a couple weeks to a month. My son took a butcher knife out of the kitchen and flashed the screen out of the window and jumped right out. No shoes, no nothing, only his clothes without no nothing, no jacket. And there was snow on the ground, and the police finally found him a mile away trying to get onto the freeway to come home, and my son was beating the police officer up because he wanted to come home. He didn't want to go back to the home.
Oh, that poor baby. My God.
And now I got my CPS, the CPS worker. I had recorded the conversation that my 8-year-old son had started crying on the phone, stating, I'm not his mom no more. He has no more family. He can never go home. CPS told me that I can't go home till 2055. And so we ended the conversation because it was just getting really bad. And when I recorded the conversation, CPS started laughing and said, oh, I love that boy. That boy is so cute. He is so funny. And as a parent, you try to keep your straight face on, okay, why did you just do that? She was happy because she's only supposed to be taking my son out and talking to him once a month, but she's been seeing my son 1 to 2 times a week.
Why?
And I have a feeling that she loves my son so much that she wants to keep him in the system so she could see him. And with my daughter, trying to keep her in the system so that the foster parent could keep her.
Well, listen, this isn't abnormal because, you know, once they have them 15 to 22 months, they can start the proceedings to sever your parental rights and adopt them out. And then they're worth approximately $107,000 per child to the state. So, you know, I mean, that's the facts. So what is the status of everything right now? The kids have been gone. The kids have been gone since May of last year.
So December 1st. This is the second time the kids were taken.
Oh, that's right. The second time they took them in December?
No. Yeah, the second time was in December, yes.
Okay, but this whole thing is ridiculous. I mean, so, you know, one of the things we try to focus on is the ridiculous factor that separates families whenever CPS gets anywhere in the vicinity of a family that comes on their radar. I mean, you know, you're talking an argument over a computer, a ridiculous statement between a 17-year-old and an 8-year-old, which...
That's all it was an argument. The boys had a little mishap and everything was fine, but my 8-year-old son, likes. I mean, he's autistic. He tells stories. He came home and told me and his siblings funny things, like there was blood all over the playground and can't go outside to play anymore because there's too much blood and the teacher touched my pee-pee and I can't go to school anymore because the teacher showed up to school naked. And
well, and that's what I was getting ready to say. This is technically, they took your children over a conversation between two young adult male siblings because, A, you know, brothers always get along and never want to, like,
yep,
you know, bust each other's balls, so to speak, or you know, get each other in trouble. And this is pretty common, siblings and adolescents. I mean, it's just normal crap. When did normal freaking stuff become illegal or reason or grounds to take children? I mean, this has become an epidemic in the past, you know, 30, 35 years.
Yes, it has.
I mean, so what changed? What changed? What dynamic has changed? Because all these things existed long before CPS. Oh, yeah, that's right. Apparently running their own court because you can be innocent in a court of law but proven guilty by CPS. Well, CPS, who think you are? These people are...
They think that they're better than the court system. And, you know, if I could even have the energy to even sit down and start writing a paper, you know, an affidavit or something to the judge stating, hey, you know, I need you to see my end of things. I need you to see the proof I have. I mean, would that, I don't think the judge would even listen even if I did.
Honey, no. You know what? You're half right and half wrong. You definitely need to put the energy into writing up an affidavit, but the last place you want exhausted on is a judge who would keep your children away over these bit reasons. You give me that affidavit and let's get it to an attorney who can file a federal right to lie case for you. Because this is, not to mention, these kids, technically, if you had a good attorney, would say that their federal ADA rights have been violated because their disability was not taken into consideration when they had charges brought on them or were taken out of the home.
I had contacted DHS in St. Paul and told them my story, which she sounded all good and everything, but she says that the only problem is they, you know, if they did an investigation on CPS, it could last years. And I'll be without my kids for years.
Okay.
So I'm out of that part.
You know what? Because here's the thing. If you can take children on the turn of a dime, then you should be able to give them back. And when you start talking about people who are violating all the rules, you do not get to take people's children and abduct them in such a way and then sit there and go, well, now you got to play by my rules. And there's no sense of urgency for me to return you. And I always give the comparative to if this was some stranger on the playground, okay, you would not be negotiating with them. You would not be sitting there playing by their rules. You'd be over there like kicking them in the head and like, give me my kid back, you freaking pervert. You know, I mean, this is why do the rules apply? Because to me, I don't care. I personally don't care. You get up every day just like anybody who goes, whether you dig ditches, whether you're a billionaire, whether you fly a plane or you're a stripper. Don't care. We all get up naked and put two legs and a pair of pants, and I don't care about status. So take away the fancy titles and put it back into normal perspective of who these human beings are. And when they get in their fancy car and they drive the hell to work, the job duty that they are performing every day is unethical. It is comparative to human trafficking for government monetary gain.
And the thing is my 13-year-old daughter has nothing to do with this case. Her name's not even in this case, but they took her anyway because they said that she could be the next victim.
Victim of what? Victim of what, though?
I blew up at them, and now they're saying, you know, I had to go to parenting classes and everything. And I'm like, you know, why should I have to go to parenting classes? Why should this be happening? Because it had nothing to do with my parenting.
How much were you paying for those parenting classes?
Oh, I didn't have to pay anything for the parenting classes, but it was bogus because it was from children from ages 2 to 6. I don't have a 2-year-old. All the way up to a 6-year-old. My youngest is an 8-year-old.
Ah, see, because...
And it has nothing to do with that program because he's autistic. He's different than other kids.
Right, but hold on. But there was no... You blowing up at your kids is not grounds to take your kids. Did you physically abuse him?
No.
No. Okay.
I don't believe in abuse on a child because they're just children. They're just growing up. They need to know their own mistakes.
Okay, but what constitutes as blowing up, from what I can understand, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Rachel, is you were dealing with. Okay, you are a parent of an 8-year-old ADHD autistic child and a 17-year-old with ODD, take everything else out, who's also going through kidney failure. I can imagine, as a parent, you intervening and trying to get a laptop to be shared might have constituted in you having to be a bit more firm than usual, correct?
I would have been. My younger son, he knows. It's been about a year since that incident. It was about a year that he is not allowed to have any item that has to do with Wi-Fi, internet, nothing, because of his dad's crap that he gave him on sexual stuff.
Okay, just say for what it is. He exposed him to porn, a minor to porn, which is illegal. Okay, but again, you had already set the rules in your home as the current caretaker of your children. He didn't have to like it. Oh, well, I can imagine 17 years old and your father instilling, you know, that need for porn. Okay, he's going to get combative with you. But the thing is, why aren't they prosecuting the father for exposing a minor to pornography?
CPS has told me numerous times because me and my son were trying to get him convicted for child abuse, and a police officer, now that, get this, a police officer told me here in where I'm at in Eagle Lake, police officer had told me that it is not illegal to abuse your child. It's legal. And that's one thing I had a hard time with because I went to CPS and I had said, you know, we're trying to get a restraining order, harassment order. Because, yeah, it may have been over a year, but my 17-year-old still is traumatized over the abuse that he sustained.
What abuse did he sustain?
He was, now, my ex's house is really, really bad. He's got pit bulls that go to the bathroom all over the house, and it smells really bad. He's one of those things you call hoarders. Like, it's almost like on the TV show, The Hoarders. He's a big, big hoarder. He doesn't even have a bed. He sleeps on a table.
Okay, gross. And moving on.
Yeah.
Okay.
His bathroom looks like it hasn't been cleaned for years on end. It's just gross. But my son evidently did not want to eat supper, my oldest one. Now, he wouldn't do anything to his son, which is the 8-year-old, but my oldest son, he was taken by his arm and thrown in the bathroom and made him eat in the bathroom because he wouldn't eat supper. And he was forced to inhale marijuana smoke. There's no ventilation in that house. No windows open, nothing. No fans.
Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. Did you say that they tried to give custody to this man?
They're thinking about giving custody of his son, our son, the 8-year-old, to him.
You've got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. It's in the court paper saying that if I don't get my 8-year-old back, then custody could go to him.
Okay, and hold on. CPS in freaking Blue Sky County, Minnesota, if you give the custody of an 8-year-old autistic child to this man, you're idiots. You're worse than half of the other states I've been interviewing since the beginning of April, honest to God, because you know what, Rachel, you and I both know that children with ADHD generally are so routine oriented, and he would come undone in a filthy environment. He would turn, that's where his ADHD comes from, because it's almost OCD. Okay. I'm a mother of a autistic child too. Trust me. I know all about it. Routine oriented, very clean. Like, they don't handle disorder very well. And that's the problem with EPS people and half of the family courts, is they don't know a thing about autism. And they're throwing these kids in environments, setting them up for failure to no end.
Well, they did some sort of, you know, back at the police station, they did some sort of interview with Chase with those dolls to see what supposedly went on. And evidently it went on to wait, Chase said it. And they're saying, well, he's 8 years old. Why would an 8-year-old lie? I'm like, I told him, I go, again, like I keep telling you, you need to go to my son's dad. He is the one that taught him all that pornographic crap. And, you know, his first day of kindergarten when he got home from school, his first words to his son was, so is your teacher hot? Does she have big boobs? That's not the way you tell your kindergartner after the first date.
Like, how long were you married to him?
I was never married with him. I was together with him for about 9 years. And then I guess my eyes woke up and decided, you know, I can't take this anymore.
Okay, so how old was Chase when you left him?
5.
So he's been away from him for 3 years?
Nope. His dad gets... Now, I get... supervised visitation with Chase, with my son, for 2 hours, but his hour and a half to 2 hours, and his dad gets 8 hours unsupervised.
Wait a minute, 8 hours unsupervised in that home?
Yep.
And hold on, wait. You have to pay for supervised, and you get an hour and a half a week. Did I hear that right?
Hour and a half twice a week.
Okay, 2 times a week.
Yep.
So, wait a minute. Okay, I hope everybody listening, you're following the logic here, okay? You have a hoarder, a child abuser, a porn addict who would expose minors to pornography, okay? And clearly does not know how to appropriately communicate with a child, okay? And
yep.
Most likely sounds to me like a sexual deviant. He gets 8 hours unsupervised in a disgusting condition with a man who's blown marijuana smoke in his face, and you're having supervised visitation
now.
For what reason?
There is no reason. I get supervised. There's no reason on it, but they're saying that I was neglectant to my kids because of what happened to my younger son. And I was like, kept telling him, how many times do I have to tell you until I'm blue in the face? What happened? Because as I seen, there was an argument over a laptop. Me and my oldest son solved it, and everything seemed to be fine.
Okay, you know what? This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. Are you paying child support to the state for your children in care right now?
Oh, you really? You I have not paid a penny because I'm not gonna.
What do you order to pay?
I was ordered to pay it, yeah, $50,000 a month.
Wait a minute, $50,000?
$50,000 one month. I'm...
Wait, hold on. Third time's a charm. $50,000 a month in child support?
Yep, a month.
Hold on, let's just have a moment of silence for the justice that just died in the courtroom that issued that. And what income are they basing that on?
Truthfully, they're saying that since my son is in a group home for disabled kids, it costs more money. My younger son gets $766 in SSI, which they took, and you know it's not going towards his needs because they're still saying I have to provide shoes, shorts, clothing necessities, healthy snacks on visiting days. But they took his SSI, so I've got to come up with the money all the time, which I'm always broke.
$50,000. Oh, yep. Honey, listen, after we're off this call, you and I are going to have to talk. We're going to have to get you an attorney. Seriously. That's ridiculous.
I've got the most worthless attorney known to man. She won't listen to me. She's all for the CPS. She thinks that my son is guilty, and she says she knows autism very well. And I'm like, yeah, well, I do too, but all autisms are different.
And you don't know my son? Thank you very much. You didn't birth him?
They don't know any of my kids. My 13-year-old daughter is, I don't know if she is now, but she was suicidal when she left. She was cutting herself. My older son was cut, is, I think, till this day is still. He hears his brother's voice in the house, and he can't get the voices to go away. He keeps hearing his brother.
Yeah, because they miss him. Listen, I know an older sibling that after 24 months just fell apart because the younger autistic child was gone out of the home and ultimately self-destructed. And it was heartbreaking to watch. And, you know, because special needs siblings have a special bond, don't they, that most people don't understand.
The two boys were very, very together. They were best friends. My older son doesn't have any friends. And him and his brother were just like two peas in a pod. But then when he was abused by my younger son's dad, he fell apart. He was isolating himself, sleeping all the time. He was depressed, and he had PTSD. And that's when my autistic changed and started changing his behaviors because of, it doesn't matter if, you know, if the autistic child, you know, if things don't change with him, but even though if it didn't change with him, it changed with his brother, and he sees it. So he's going to have the anger and change himself. So it's environmental for him, and yeah.
And how is your older son doing with his renal failure? Is he stable?
We had a, 3 weeks of his labs are really, really bad. But then we got him somewhat stable. He's at stage 3.
Oh.
Stage 4 is transplant.
Yeah, I know. My mother passed away from renal failure. I'm sorry to hear that.
I've got my GI doctor to see on Wednesday. I'm hoping they give me some good news. They want me to stop the pill, but I can't stop the pill because if I stop the pill, I could die from the other illness. So I'm at a lose-lose situation with mine.
Are they going to go ahead and put your son on a waiting list for a kidney, being he's stage 3? Well, and he'll probably need his siblings around, won't he? Because
yes, he will, but he can't see. He has not seen his brother for 7 months.
Yeah, way to go, CPS. Because I'm really sure this whole family that's so interwoven and one suffering from life-threatening illness really should have his siblings around. Way to go! I mean, that's a great freaking job. What a great job!
They've changed his way of life around. I mean, our family has torn apart into millions of pieces. I mean, we're never hardly together. We hardly do anything anymore. The summer is going to come and go. I was told that I was supposedly getting my 13-year-old daughter to come home to stay, and I guess that's changed. I don't know why. But I don't, you know, I don't, when they tell me good news, I don't even smile about it or nothing anymore because I know it's not true. I'm not to see it to believe it. Because
because they lie.
The person who has Jaylee wants to keep her. And I'm not gonna put myself down anymore by just listening to them.
You know what? With your consent, after we're not on the air anymore, I would like to get the contact information for the CPS supervisor who's hands soon and return your children.
Well, here's some good news.
I mean, of course I won't say it like that.
There is one piece of good news, and that is my older son's caseworker is now believing me in him. She's been around for years and is now believing us on it, but she got thrown off the case.
Of course she did.
CPS threw her off the case. She is not allowed to talk about the case no more. Or even hear about the case.
It's called subpoena. And when I get this woman an attorney, all of these are going to show up in court. Has there been anything that you can document as far as lying, withholding, or falsifying of evidence?
The only way I can get a hold... my younger son's doctor, I have went to him, and he has said, oh, yeah, Chase lies to me a lot. I mean, not per se, I don't want to say lies, because then that's like putting my son down, but he tells stories a lot. So, and he's told stories to him all the time and said, you know, Dr. Hansen's dead, I can't go see him anymore, and so yeah, he's on board with me too. I mean, all the doctors, every single one of my doctors, kids and doctors are all on my side, so it's only CPS's little side versus me. Well, I've got one person in the county that's on my side, but she can't do nothing for me no more.
The hell if she can't. You know what? There's ways around that, and you know it. You just need a proper attorney. You need a proper attorney. Somebody who can put this case together and go in there and say, look, this is why you're wrong. This is why you can't keep them. And if you pursue, we're going to start with a lawsuit. But answer the question. Is there any bona fide physical evidence as far as documents or testimony or court transcripts that show inconsistencies that could show lying, withholding, or falsifying of evidence, lying under oath, any of that?
The one thing I do have, and I've been trying to figure it out, is I have an hour and a half on my phone of them saying lies to me. That is actual proof that they're saying to kick my daughter out of the house. And they're saying, oh, you know, I love your son. I love your son so much. I see him all the time. But then in an email, it says, no, I only see your son once a month. And I'm like, no. You told me at the meeting that you see my son all the time, and you said about once a week, sometimes twice. And you're only supposed to be seeing my son once a month.
Yeah, see, okay, listen to me. This kind of stuff. I mean, listen, I know as a million things are flying at you like rapid fire, it's hard to process this, but this is what I'm trying to get people to do. If you really slow down and think about that for a second, that's creepy. Okay.
Well, it is.
Because listen, keep it for what it is. These are complete strangers that took your children for no really grounds, for no good reason. Okay. Nothing. Okay. They pretty much abducted these children. They put them somewhere. And then by the book, they're supposed to see him once a month. But this lady has taken to your boy and wants to see him once, twice a week. Like, he's there for her. Isn't that what an abductor does? They take a yeah. child to meet their own needs. Now you tell me this doesn't fit the pattern. If everybody just slows down, all of these parents, I mean, everybody, with everything coming at you so fast and heavy, if everybody just listens to these stories, listen to the behavior of these people, slow down, calm the mind, and think about this behavior. It is by the book, creepy abductor people. Okay. Right?
It is. Yes. You know, my 13-year-old is as gorgeous can get. She's half Hispanic, half white, really long, dark brown hair. I mean, she's very, very pretty. And, you know, as a parent, I've never been this far away from my kids, and especially I do not even know where my daughter is. I know what town she's in, but I have no idea where she's at. But in another way, I think, you know, maybe that's better that I don't, because I just might do something stupid.
Well,
and I'd hate to do something stupid.
Well, no, you wouldn't do anything stupid. It's that, first of all, you should know where the location of your child is. You are entitled to know where your child is, because guess what? You still maintain your parental rights. But listen, based on the cases that we've seen and evaluated, hun, you have a few months. I mean, in a few months to lock an attorney down and get these kids back. Okay. For obvious reasons, they might give them to this porn addict over there. Or
yep.
Or they're going to start to move to sever your parental rights so a creepy twice-a-month visitor to your autistic child can swoop up and adopt him, or a creepy church lady can go and abduct your beautiful daughter to meet her own freaking needs of not being able to birth her own daughter. I mean, this is disgusting.
Yep.
This is human trafficking. Sure. Do you hear what we're talking about? This is human trafficking.
I don't trust many people with my kids, and I never have. And yet, I may not be able to work. I have SSI because I've got disabilities, but that doesn't mean I can't care for my kids. I'm home with my autistic son. That should make them happy.
Wait a minute. Were you receiving SSI at the time that they put that court judgment in for $50,000
yep.
a month? That's illegal.
Yep.
Listen to me. They cannot put a judgment against SSI because, one, it's federal and it's considered needs-based income. That's an illegal order.
I've been on SSI after about a year after my youngest son was born, because I had a hysterectomy that went wrong, and yeah.
Okay, so here's what you need to do. You need to take a copy of your court order, your judgment, okay? And you need to write a grievance to the Judicial Disabilities Commission. You need to write a complaint against an attorney, if you had one at the time, who was representing you in that, who allowed it to go down. And
her. Yeah, I'm dealing with her.
Okay, useless Miss So-and-so. And you also need to go in and send that in with a request to amend your child support order based on your income. And you need to just send that off, because that's not even allowed. And you need have you filed an appeal?
We go to court in first week of September. And it's just going to see how the CHIPS case is going. I mean, even in the report it says, I did not have food, shelter, clothing, case, restaurant for my kids. And I told my attorney, I says, well, where do you think they picked up my kids? The streets?
You're
come up from my house.
Okay, now, but listen, Rachel, I just asked you if you had evidence of them lying, withholding false, fine evidence. That's huge. This is primary what they do. They have literally lied about people. If you go on some of these other podcasts, one lady had her house burnt out. She went a block down the road and stayed as a house guest for 30 days while her house was being renovated. And they owned this home, okay? And they came in, CPS worker took a picture of the house after the fire, submitted that into court saying the dwelling wasn't inhabitable and never said that they were house guests. I mean, so nobody should have to lose their kids over being a house guest. I mean, especially if American Red Cross is going to step in there and go, hey, we'll at least give you all this assistance and stuff. I mean, so them lying about your dwelling, the fact that the kids were, you know, cohabitating together, living in a home, you know, had all their needs met. That's a huge lie. This is what I'm talking about. This all falls under the federal right to lie case, guys. CPS workers are not allowed to lie, withhold, and falsify evidence and lie under oath anymore. And if they do, you are allowed to sue them. And you are allowed to sue not only the agency, but they can now be held accountable in civil court. So you slap two lawsuits on this. You haul them into federal, especially in your case where your federal American Disabilities Act has been violated, and you then turn around, you slam her with a civil suit and take her for everything she has, and then you ask that she be incarcerated for submitting falsification of evidence to the court.
That's exactly what I thought, but, you know, my attorney did tell the court system that I've been living and residing at my home for the past 11 years. I mean, I'm not the type to move around. I've been here for 11 years.
So hold on, but your attorney presented... Hold on, but let's break this down. This is important, okay? I'm going to walk you through this. Your attorney submitted evidence to the court that you had resided at your same residence for 11 years, correct?
Yep.
Okay. The social worker then submitted paperwork stating that you didn't meet any of those needs. No dwelling, no food, no clothing, correct?
No, I was doing just fine.
And did she say that under oath or just in discovery only?
It was just through talking to the judge. The judge does not say yay or nay on anything. The judge is just there like a referee.
No, but this
is
important.
That's all it
is. Was it in open court?
It was in a courtroom.
Then it's in court. I mean, you showed up a certain day, a certain time in a courtroom with a judge. You're in court. Okay.
Yep.
So there should be a transcript of that. You need to get your transcript. Okay. And that's going to charge a fee, but you can request a fee waiver because of your needs-based income. They have to provide it to you. You file a request for an expedited fee waiver to be granted. And you get that transcript. And you use that and you submit it with every grievance that you're going to file, okay? And if there wasn't, and this is a problem that I'm seeing, courtrooms, every court proceeding is supposed to be documented. You're supposed to be able to purchase a transcript of what occurred. And some of these courts, especially in the deep, dark South, okay, they're just kind of running and going, oh, yeah, we don't have no court reporter. We're not recording this. This is just going to go however the heck we want it to go. And everybody walking into court, you need to look and make sure that there is a court reporter in the room or that it's being recorded. And you need to go on the record saying, is this being recorded so I can get my transcript at a later time, Your Honor, before you say anything else? Before you ever get sworn in, were you sworn in? Was anybody sworn in that day?
Yeah, we had to say that we were there. He mentioned everybody. He mentions everybody in the courtroom, and there is a court reporter there. I see her typing all the time, every time we go to court.
Okay, but taking roll call and making sure all the parties are present is different than going under oath.
Then it probably isn't under oath. It's just the judge just says that if these people are here.
Okay, but even then, it was a proceeding not a trial. But even then, they're not allowed to supply false evidence to the court. So lying under oath won't, you know, if you're not sworn in, okay, just like if you're not Mirandized, it's not an official arrest. Okay, so they didn't lie under oath, but they did provide falsification of evidence. That's like a 5-year penalty to lie to the court, to provide false evidence. And in this case, it was done in order to remove your children. So the fact that, you know, your attorney is doing this, and you guys are going to start to see this pattern for everybody following this podcast, based on my experience and based on the investigation that I am doing with these cases, you guys, I cannot tell you enough. If you are going into a family court proceeding or CPS proceeding, you're going to have to represent yourself pro se. And you're going to have to go back through these podcasts and start getting in the Facebook group that we have, which is, the Justice Speaks Up parent support group. You're going to have to start getting and talking to some of these other people that are representing themselves pro se, that are learning how to get their kids back trial by fire. And because these attorneys are throwing cases on purpose. They are missing stuff that is so basic. They are not disputing stuff. They are not even going and filing an immediate appeal. I mean, hey, attorneys, common sense people, don't you think somebody on SSI disability, which is needs-based, getting a $50,000 court judgment against them, where she received $766 a month just for herself, you don't think that attorney should have immediately disputed that, immediately filed an appeal? They have let this woman ride for several months now. So you're about at $250,000 in debt with child support, right?
Against because I haven't paid anything because I can't.
Now, again, tell me this isn't crumbling American families, guys. You take somebody who has disabled mother, you fracture her family, you disband the whole family, but hey, you know, I'm really happy the social worker gets to visit a cute little autistic boy. Hey, I'm really glad that stranger has the daughter she always wanted. Up, Rachel?
Yeah.
How, this is supposed to be our government. This is why I started this podcast. This is such a creepy niche area of our government that is working in the dark doing this to families. And we have the audacity to sit here and talk about child trafficking here in other countries, child trafficking epidemic in Nigeria. But hey, guys, America is right up there, and it's happening legally right under your nose with your own government. And I'm tired of the media not talking about it. Kudos to all the independent press. Kudos to, Huffington Post writes about it. Every now and then you'll see them pop up because there's a ballsy woman behind that company, and we need more like Arianna Huffington to step up, who are loud, loud voices in media. I mean, because we're the smaller people, okay? We are the squeaky wheel, but you get somebody like her or Oprah or these other larger people getting up and saying, you know what, you're going to reform that damn thing. You're going to stop this because I'm a mom, I'm an aunt, I'm a grandmother. You know, I'm an adoptive mother, you know, and I mean, we even had foster parents who were getting kids who were looking at the parents who were broken and going, yeah, I'm getting ready to adopt your daughter, but I really think you need to have her back because I can clearly see your daughter and you love each other and your child was abducted. I mean, think about that. And they went after that woman. They went after that woman. I mean, we have CPS workers. I mean, none of these people, it's so hard to get them to talk on the record. And, with this podcast, Rachel, every time I think I'll get a big fish, it'll come on. And I'm like, just come on anonymously. Don't care. Don't even care. Just get your story on so people can hear it. And then they back out. I mean, because of the severe harassment and fear for their own families and children. And, you know.
My son's got a fear. My older son's got a fear of it. That's why I didn't say his name, because he's been bullied in his school for as long as I know. And I've been in and out that school with police officers, to everybody, to try to protect my own son from the bullies. And now last year, it started turning physical, and there's actually threats to kill Mexicans. And, you know, with Trump as our president, that, you know, it's okay if people like him, that, you know, that's their opinion. My opinion is we don't like him because he's threatening Mexicans, and, you know, three of my kids are Mexican. And my son, you know, he's 17, but, you know, he doesn't think like normal people do, but he thinks he's going to get deported. And I keep telling him, you're not getting deported. You can't. I'm your mom. I'm American. And he's scared. He's scared of everything. And my 21-year-old daughter is celebrating her third month anniversary with her very first boyfriend, because she never wanted a boyfriend because she didn't want, she thought that men were like my ex, abusive men. And she says she never wants to have kids. And I have a feeling she's thinking the same way I'm thinking, is that someone's going to take her children away. So it's torture to my own children. I mean, it's pure torture.
Rachel, what it is. And I'm telling you right now, before I launched this podcast, I thoroughly researched what this is. And it falls under the criteria of domestic terrorism.
That's exactly what I had thought too. And I'm glad that you think it too and say it, because, you know, sometimes I may think, you know, I'm going to over extreme or thinking too much, or, but if somebody tells me that, then I know exactly that that's what it is.
You know what? I was raised by a ballsier generation that said, you call a spade a spade. Right is right, wrong is wrong, and there's no gray in between. And I don't give a good who it is. If it's my neighbor next door, if it's the government, or if it's the president himself, if left and right, you're wrong. You need to go. I don't care. Because what's happening, our whole country is in chaos, Rachel. Our families, our whole family unit has been torn apart. And you know what? I want to know. I want that attorney that represented you to go, yeah, I did a job. Or that, you're going to take that shit and tell him, you take that shit back. You take that back. That's a ridiculous judgment against you. You don't have a chance of paying that. I mean,
nope,
it's punitive. It's punitive.
I could pay. But I've lost so far 7 months, and I know there's other parents who have lost way more than 7 months, and I don't know how they do it, but all I could say is you just get up. You live day by day. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think suicidal or nothing, because then you're just giving up on the kids, and the kids are suffering actually way more than we are.
They are the superheroes in this.
Yes, they are. I commend my 8-year-old does not know nothing. He has no clue what's going on because he's autistic. But my 13-year-old is being pushed to the limit. I mean, every day, other than weekends, she goes out Monday through Friday, and her so-called foster parent, I don't even call her a parent even, but the foster person takes her out to parks and makes her clean up parks because it's healthy for the environment and it's healthy for her. Now, to me, that just sounds like she thinks she's in trouble, and she thinks that's community service. That's not community service, and I keep telling CPS she needs to stop it. She needs to have her Facebook back. She needs to start communicating with her friends from school. She's in an attic. That's her bedroom, is an attic.
So she's just isolated. Well, and here's the thing that, I mean, you have to understand. See, it's the lack of empathy and common sense factor, as I said before. Normally, in a family, like before this had happened to your family, when your daughter was stable, if you had gone, hey guys, let's do a family outing. Let's go do the park and let's go clean up because it's good for the environment. That would have been different. But because your family has been fractured, she's living with strangers, she doesn't understand what's going on, you can take that same event and she's going to perceive that differently now because her stability, her foundation has been on. So this is what I'm telling you guys. Once CPS gets into the family unit, it's screwing these kids up to think that even a normal
day at the park to go out and do an environmental event, okay, and you're talking to somebody who was in the hiking and environmental club for 4 or 5 years in school. I mean, I did a lot of environmental work. And so, I mean, I can see why she would think that. So I can see where, you know, it's normal versus abnormal. I mean, I saw how many children, you just take something so normal, they don't perceive things different anymore. It's fracturing these children.
She sees other kids playing at the park, but then she has the foster parent, you know, watching her clean up the garbage off the ground for hours. And then other kids look at her like, oh, she must be in trouble.
Yeah, but if your daughter says, I'm not comfortable, I don't want to, she shouldn't make her. She should be trying to meet her needs. Because that's what a foster parent does. You have to have the compassion and empathy to understand that a child is coming to you stripped from its family and they are not going to be in a normal state. And for you to push your agenda on them is not fair.
I have tried talking to her, but the foster parent won't even answer the phone to me. Even when I get phone call time with my daughter, only a half hour, 3 times a week, she doesn't answer the phone.
Is that court ordered?
It's court ordered, and she's not answering the phone. I tell CPS that, hey, she's not answering the phone. Oh, well, are you sure you have the right number? I'm like, yes, I have the right number.
Okay, good. You know what to do? You go and slap her ass with a contempt charge in court.
Ooh, hey, that sounds good.
Amen. Do it. You know what? I'm slinging paper left and right. Be prepared. You're going to get a nice gift next week. So I'm just helping everybody else out to do the same. Slam them with paperwork. Get your transcripts and go to war for your children. Because guess what? You are the last defense for your children, not an attorney. Don't put the fate of your children and yourself in the hands of an attorney or these people who fractured your family. It's counterintuitive. You got in trouble?
I got in trouble by trying to fight the CPS case on my own. I tried getting my own paperwork together and going to get it and everything. From like the welfare office, I kept saying, you know, hey, you know, you're saying that I did this. Well, where's the proof? You need to give me that proof. By law, you have to give me the proof. By law, you have to make copies of that, my file, and give it to me. That's actual proof. That's evidence. If you don't provide me with the evidence, then you're not going by your job. And then I got in trouble by my attorney saying that that's her job. I need to have her do her job. And I had told her, I go, well, if you're my attorney, then you need to start doing your job or I'll fire you. And I will go to the Bar Association and say, you're not an attorney.
Okay, first thing you're going to do, you're going to start communicating in email with this attorney and not take phone calls, okay?
No, I don't do phone calls with anybody.
No.
It's paper chain.
Okay, so do you have all of these requests and documented? Because listen, hold on. The other thing you have to do with an attorney is you can't leave it open-ended, okay? You can't say, I need X. You need to say, I need X by the end of in 5 business days, which is 5 p.m. Tuesday, November 12th, 2017. You've got to give them a day. You've got to give them a deadline because otherwise they will float. And your kids, it'll go from 7 months to 12 months to 24 months. And then all of a sudden you're being slammed with a letter out of the blue with, hey, we're getting ready to sever your parental rights and adopt your children out. Stop. I'm begging you, Rachel, it's only been 7 months. Some of these people have had their kids gone for years. Okay.
You
have to nip this in right now. Okay. And you write your attorney and you say, no problem. I'll be getting the paperwork if you don't get it, okay, by this Wednesday at 5 p.m. Give him until Wednesday at 5 p.m. And then he can't tell you to go do anything. He wants control over this case. And that's what bothers me is that the attorneys don't want their clients to do anything, but they don't want to do anything for the client. And then they go, oh, well, sorry. That's what I'm saying. They're throwing these cases. They know that they're not doing anything. They know it. Don't listen to him, okay? Don't, you have every right to walk in and get these papers, okay? They're yours. Matter of fact, you're more entitled to your court papers and your medical records than your attorney is, okay? Because they're yours.
And that's one thing, I just got an email Friday stating that CPS is basically demanding for me to sign a release of information for her to look at my ultrasound / MRI results of my tumor. She does not know about the tumor because I'm afraid if I tell her, hey, I got a tumor, well, then I'm afraid I'm going to lose my kid.
No, so you know what? No, listen, Rachel, because and here's why. Your medical condition is not the reason that they took your children. This is what they're doing.
Not even
they're going to sit here and set you up for a federal ADA violation, which they're going to use your disability to say now you're too sick to get the kids back, which they can't do that, but they're doing it all the time. And you just say no. You send it, you notarize it, and you say, I am refusing your request for my medical records because my children were taken on A, B, and C. My medical records do not pertain to A, B, and C. Move on. Have a good day.
That's exactly what I had said. I had said, I am sorry. I do not need to fill out no release of information due to my medical records because it has nothing to do with my children.
Stand your ground.
That's how I told her.
Just stand your ground, Rachel. Don't give, because you know what?
I ain't gonna,
no, you push back. And every time they send you a request, do exactly what you did. Say, hell no. And by the way, when am I getting my kids back? That's how I'd end every letter. And when am I getting my kids back? When are you going to overturn this illegally written judgment against me for $50,000? And start proposing questions to them. Because then you can print it out and go, yeah, you never answered any of my questions. I certainly answered yours, but you just didn't like the answer. But you never even responded to me. So, I mean, push back. Push the hell back. These people don't own people. They are not bigger than a court of law. And I would really, really like, is it in a transcript anywhere where they came back and said your son was proven guilty by CPS but innocent by the court?
No. I am actually in the process of trying to get some sort of paper on that. When I told you about my older son's case manager, she told me that's the way it was brought up. And I had asked her, well, can I get some sort of documentation that's the way they're pushing it? Because truthfully, I told her you can't do that. Because if he was not brought to trial in court, he was never even brought to court. The topic is like gone. So now my son, like this boy's incident left, but now it's brought on me saying that I neglected and abused my kids, but the abuse, I don't know where they're getting.
Okay, this is what I'm saying. Rachel, you need to get your transcripts. You need to see what is in these transcripts, okay? And you need to read it word for word because I can show you tons of cases where the courts are with, family courts are withholding files from the Court of Special Appeals. They are altering transcripts. Where, yes, it's illegal, but some people have recorded their court proceedings, and then when they go in and get their transcripts, the courts have removed portions of the trial. So it doesn't look like they violated any rules. There's some corruption going on. This is why we're pushing for family court and CPS reform. This is frightening. This is frightening.
There's a case that just happened up in Minneapolis with a teenager and a newborn baby.
What about that?
CPS took the newborn baby out of the hospital away from the teenager the next day after it was born, saying that the baby did not have any clothing or whatsoever. But what CPS looked at is they looked at the boyfriend's house. They didn't look at her house. Her house had everything for a newborn baby. it was spoiled, in fact, from what I've heard. And they took the baby for looking at the wrong house.
Come on. And does she have an attorney?
She's got the baby back, but she lost like 3 months away from that baby.
Sue.
They're suing for, what is it, $2 million? And yeah. I hope she gets it.
Oh, she will. Again, you know what? Federal right to lie. You provided false evidence. Poor botched investigation. I'm so sick of this crap. It's just all over the place. Here's the problem. You want to get rid of this problem and all parents and the corruption? Abolish CPS. I really do. I think it needs to be completely abolished. I think the hundreds of millions of dollars that's going to every state need to be reallocated and pushed back into the local community nonprofits. And law enforcement needs to be back to being that point of person who comes in and makes a decision, because they have criminal justice degrees, one. They are equally qualified to refer to community services. And I do not believe CPS is there for the better of children. I believe CPS is a front to drive tons of money into each of the states. That's what I do, through the human trafficking of children. That's what I believe they exist for. Well, I mean, look at the pattern. Look at the pattern.
Oh, yeah, I've seen enough of the cases where it makes you sick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's these poor kids.
That's what I'm saying. It's really messed up, Rachel. This is like the dark underbelly of America that nobody wants to talk about.
Well, we got the president talking about other countries other than our very own. Every time I see anything on Trump, it's always Russia or other countries. But what about our own country? We've got our own problems to deal with, and he needs to start focusing on our country too, because it's falling apart.
Okay, listen, it's simple. It's called diversion tactic. If we talk about everybody else, how everybody else is so wrong, we will take away from what's wrong with us. And that's the problem, which is I'm telling everybody here, smack your asses upside your face. Stop looking at everywhere else. This isn't happening in third world countries. This isn't happening in big bad Russia. Look right here on your doorstep, right here. Right here in your hometown, every place that you pass through as you go through on family vacation, there are tens and hundreds of thousands of families affected across America every year, having their children abducted out of their homes who are being financially crushed. Small business is being crushed. People are driven out of their homes, severed from their property, and this is a RICO Act violation all day. All day. And I understand I'm the most hated podcaster in some circles right now because I'm talking about it. And I really don't. Because at some point somebody has to start talking about this.
They don't want to know what's actually true.
No, because the truth hurts. The truth shows that we're flawed.
The truth does hurt.
It shows we're flawed and we have a long way to go before we even dare call ourselves the land of the free and the greatest country in the world. Only some are free. And trust me, that freedom, that justice, it comes with a price. And if you don't believe it does, start talking to some of the people who couldn't afford to buy it.
Well, that's because I don't know if it's whether if the poor families get hit on the worst or if it's all equal. I know the people who I've known, They really don't have much for money, and they get their kids taken away for reasons that we don't even know why.
It's adoption incentives, hon. It's money. It's money. Go back to these early, I say it all the time, every episode, I almost tell people, go back to these earlier episodes when we broke this business model down. It is a business model, and it's sad, and it needs to, it's time to abolish that business model and restructure it so it's there for the people and not the government. And it's just wrong. It's wrong. It's human trafficking for monetary gain. And it's designed to break down the American family unit. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I mean, I'm not out there abducting children and making these rules. I'm just sitting here noticing the patterns. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I had a friend who she has two girls and she would have had four, but her husband made up a bunch of lies and evidently wanted a divorce and said, well, if I can't have my kids, then you're not going to have them either, and went to the state and said a bunch of lies about her and said that, okay, well, I notice you're pregnant. It's either you give up these two kids or you give up the newborn baby, but you can't have them both. And it didn't even go to trial. It didn't even go to court. They just slapped the paper down and said, I need you to choose which child you want.
Yeah, see, right here, this is happening a lot. This is going to stop. This is going to stop. That is, oh, my God. I mean, can you imagine any parent right now that's listening, could you imagine being put in that position to decide between one of your children like this and tell me this isn't domestic terrorism? This is the kind that happens in war zones, Rachel, where they sit there and they go into these villages and they take the children and they say, okay, we got a gun to both of their heads. Give up the information. Which one should go? Which one should go? This is war tactics.
They told me CPS and my attorney had told me in the beginning that if I choose my older son to believe over my younger son, I will lose my young son indefinitely. And if I choose my younger son, my older son is going to get put in juvenile prison. And I told him, I go, you know what? I hate to tell you, but my choice is made up and I choose none of them. I choose to remain neutral. I don't choose my son over another son. I'm not going to choose which one to love the most. I already told you that I was a witness on the argument. I was there the whole time. If you choose not to believe me, that's your problem. But I stand my ground on it. I'm not going to choose one over the other.
Good for you. I wouldn't. I'd do the same thing, and I suggest other people do the same thing. Not only should you not choose any of the options above, but again, one of the attorneys that have been consulting with us, if you are absolutely forced to sign any document, do not add your signature. Print your name and put UD at the end, which is under duress, but do not lend your formal signature.
Nope.
So you need to file, print your name and put under duress at the end of everything. Because when you're being attacked with domestic terrorism, you should not be forced to make a decision under those circumstances at all.
No one should.
No, and this stuff's going to stop. And listen, guys, I mean, we're running way over, Rachel, because you're so good to talk to. But for everybody listening, I am traveling, and I have identified a handful of foundations that I'm going to be trying to get in-person meetings with that I feel could possibly have an interest, a mutual interest in bettering the lives of these families in America and funding this project so we can go out and assist some of these families with legal fees and processing fees and, ease their financial burden, because some of these families are just so broken and there's just no grant programs for them to go to, you guys. Nobody, they don't qualify for anything. I mean, what is the government going to open up a big grant now to like help the people they've broken? I mean, don't hold your breath because you'll be, seriously purple before the end of the night. If you are one of the organizations or foundations that are going to get an email from Dark City Media Group, please respond. Even if you're not interested, so we don't hold off on pursuing other avenues. I spent a lot of time over the last several weeks kind of really trying to identify some of those organizations. So wish us luck. Wish us luck, Rachel.
Yep.
Yeah, because you'll be on that list. Are you going to be opting in to be part of the class action lawsuit that we're putting together?
Yes, I will.
Okay, excellent. And as always, you know, everybody who's done the podcast and gone through our pre-screening and a process, you always have the opportunity to come back and become a JSU Parent Outreach Advocate and assist other people in bringing their stories forward. All right, Rachel, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to helping you before too much more time goes by, and hopefully we can get your kids returned. If there's any attorneys or people in her area in Blue Earth, that's a company, Blue Earth County, Minnesota, you know, please contact us through the website, justicespeaksup.us. Also, anybody in the state of Minnesota involved in this case, if you would like to chime in and go on the record for a podcast and give your point of view, again, contact us through the contact form at justicespeaksup.us.
This has been brought to you by Drown Rat Productions. Remember, we are everywhere and nowhere.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.